So yesterday, you probably gave up some more of your privacy and didn't even know it was happening, because I certainly didn't know.
What are we talking about? Did I leave my shades open? What?
It's called Amazon Sidewalk. Here's some news people talking about it.
It's basically going to turn your devices, your Alexas, your Echoes, and your Ring doorbells into a Wi-Fi hotspot.
The goal is to strengthen Wi-Fi and expand broadband coverage, but to do it, the devices will automatically be connected on a shared network.
Say what? I have Amazon in my house, Anna. I actually have it in three rooms. Plus, I have Ring cameras all around my house. I mean, Ring cameras, awfully popular security systems. So this is going to be basically making all of those hotspots?
Yeah. So it's the reason why they're doing it, so that we have better reception and we're able to access the thing everywhere. But by doing that, they think that there's going to be hackers that'll be able to get into all your private stuff. Here's a lady talking about it.
I say, Alexa, you know, put it on music, da-da-da, whatever I want to say. Or I find a movie. I can get into all my accounts, everything. Everything's linked nowadays. I'm going to turn that off. People are going to get hacked.
Now, this does sound insane, but actually, we've heard examples of this. I think that there was one of these major, like, break-ins, these ransom attacks that happened on the country over the last year or so was something where they got in through a television or a computer screen monitor inside the company or whatever. You know, and that was the talk, was like, when TVs came out with cameras and microphones, would we be getting hacked that way? So I guess it's possible.
I think it's more than possible. I think it's probably likely, and we don't even realize it. But I just really like the way she describes the way she talks to her Echo.
I say, Alexa, you know, put it on music, da-da-da, whatever I want to say.
Da-da-da.
You know that most of the arguments in my house about Alexa center from the way that my wife talks to Alexa and the way that Alexa responds to her versus the way Alexa responds to me.
Did Alexa give you an attitude? Because I always hear that she has like an attitude, and I'm like, you realize you're talking to essentially what is a robot.
When,
you know,
Alexa speaks to my wife, she sounds like a 911 operator. When Alexa speaks to me, she sounds like a date.
Oh, so Alicia, your wife is convinced that Alexa is hitting on you.
Yes.
But
yes,
wants to kill her in her sleep.
Well, kinda.
Okay. If you want to turn this off, here's what you do.
We'll tell you how to opt out. It's as simple as opening the Alexa app. Then open More and find Settings. Select Account Settings, find Amazon Sidewalk, and turn it off.
I mean, so it's not like it's one-touch thing, though, right? I mean, this is kind of a big thing that's already been built into the equipment.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary that they would make that choice without talking to anybody about it.
Isn't that how everything is? See, I've gotten to the point in my life, Raven, and I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's the way it is.
Yeah.
That I get it. There's probably people listening to me all the time. You're targeting me for marketing. You're targeting me for whatever else. But at this point, like, what are we going to do? I mean, there's words I don't even know, like Doge a coin, that I have to just accept that I'm never going to understand.
It's Doge.
Whatever. But,
right. It's true. Whenever I buy something, it always asks you, right? Read all this, right? Agree. And you either opt in or you opt out. And if you opt out, for the most part, it tells you it's scary. It tells you, like, it's not going to work right.
Yep.
It won't get any bug fixes or updates or anything like that. So what do? First off, nobody reads it. You just scroll to the bottom, agree, and opt in.
That's it.
And that's how you end up in these situations, I guess.
I guess.
Well, I'll be shutting it off when I get home today.
I'll probably forget the minute we walk out the door. A Harvard professor said that the number one thing that makes people happy is being an extrovert, because they are most likely to be successful in life. Now, I think that I'm an extrovert, but I have a real problem, like, when I'm in a room full of strangers just talking to people. All of a sudden, that's when I get really quiet.
Well, it's a different skill set, right? And there's a certain amount of comfortability that you need to have with yourself, too. But even if you feel pretty good about it, there's pitfalls to be had all over the place, Anna.
Deborah Fine is keynote speaker and author of The Fine Art of Small Talk. Deborah, do you find that this is the number one thing people have difficulty with, especially when they're networking and trying to meet new people?
Absolutely. The number one social fear in the United States, Anna, is the fear of public speaking. Second greatest social fear is the fear of talking to a stranger. And I think you just described that. I don't know you, Anna, and thank you, Raven and Anna, for hosting me today. You sound like an extrovert, but you're in complete control now. You're going to decide when this interview is over. You have the questions laid out. It's easy to behave like an extrovert when you have control. But when you walk into a room or on a first date, we have no control. Like, and that's what makes it so difficult. Whether you're a fourth grade teacher, an engineer, a banker, when you're at work, you're in control. But put yourself in a situation where you're not, and it makes it much more difficult.
Deborah, you mentioned control, and having the control of the conversation obviously gives somebody the confidence to execute things the way they want to. But some of us are just agents of chaos, like myself. It's a bit like the class clown back in school. We all remember. Right. They get nervous, and we displace those nerves by being funny. Exit lines, I'm always tough on those. Like, I can use those.
You want to get away from people so they can't hold you hostage for one more moment than you're willing to be held hostage for.
Time to go.
Right, Raven? I have a million icebreakers and even exit lines, but the two overlapping keys are take the risk of walking up to somebody new, and number two, assume the burden of making other people feel comfortable. I'm meeting you. You're a stranger. I would say, what keeps you busy outside of work, Raven?
That's good. It caters to my ego, Anna. Right. They ask me about my interests.
And what do you say? Watch Netflix and sleep on the couch?
Yeah, and then I try and walk away. But, I mean, it's a good place to start.
Yep. What would be some other conversation starters, like right off the bat?
The best way to launch a conversation is use free information about the occasion or location. If I'm at a restaurant on my first date, I would say to you, have you been to this restaurant before? Oh, yeah. Oh, so is it one of your favorites? Why? No, I've never been here. Well, what prompted you to pick it? Appropriate to the information that we have at hand.
The flip side of that, when you're trying to get out, do you just say, oh, I have to go call my kids, or I have to, like, oh, my phone has been ringing, let me go see, or just I have to go to the bathroom and just turn around and walk away?
And run.
How do you get out of the conversation politely?
As far as I'm concerned, it's okay to say, I need to check in on my kids, or I need to go to the restroom, or I need to get a drink. If you need to go, you need to go. Where people drop the ball is they say, I need to go, and on the way to go out to wherever to call your kids or to use your phone, you stop and talk to Raven. Mm. I mean, I see you stop to talk to somebody else. You might even have been telling me the truth that you really needed to call your kids, but it looks like you blew me off because people get distracted or somebody stops you along the way. If that happens, we're on the way to the coffee pot, somebody says, oh my gosh, Deborah, great to see you. How have you been? I'll go, you know what? Let me catch up with you in a second. I'm just going to grab a cup of coffee because I want you to see that I actually went and got the coffee. Or I'll say to them, why don't you join me? I'm going to get coffee. So whatever you say your intention is, do it so you don't look like you're blowing somebody off. And also, of course, so you don't hurt somebody's feelings.
So here's the thing, Raven, is that if I say, excuse me, I have to use the restroom and I walk away, I have to go into the stall and count to 15. So people actually believe that I went to the bathroom during that time.
I would just come over and say something inappropriate and have you back away slowly at that moment. I'd bail you out. I know the look in your eyes.
Deborah, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. You can find Deborah online at deborahfine.com.
Goosebaba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Small things you can do to make your life better. So Amazon warehouses, Raven, have faced a lot of scrutiny lately for working conditions.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, It's always busy there. It's got to be highly efficient, obviously. And it's hot out. You know, it's that time of year.
So people have expressed that they're overworked, they're overstressed. There's not enough bathrooms or rest facilities at the warehouses. So Amazon debuted something new this week. It's called AmaZen.
Oh, nice.
With AmaZen. I wanted to provide a place that's quiet that people could go and focus on their mental and emotional well-being.
Now, I would think if people are complaining that there's not enough bathrooms or places for them to rest, they would just get like a break room and possibly maybe some porta potties
maybe
or an
another
extra bathroom.
Right.
Right. So they have these Zen booths that they've created. What exactly is a Zen booth?
Mm.
The Zen booth is an interactive kiosk where you can navigate through a library of mental health and mindful practices to recharge that internal battery.
So wait a minute. So it's not just a box that you go in and there's like silence. Like there's actually a computer in there or whatever you can interact with and you can get some therapy sessions going.
Let me paint a picture for you, Raven.
Okay.
I want you to think about going in an old school telephone booth, right?
Yes.
That's what it looks like. An old school telephone booth, but you sit down and there's a computer.
I would imagine there's no windows on this
No.
So it's in privacy.
Yes.
Yes.
It would look like a porta potty.
Okay.
Except
there's no toilet.
There's no toilet.
Right.
There's a chair and a computer and a bunch of videos that you click on the videos.
Okay.
And then it leads you through meditation and it leads you through like things to help you with your mental health, and all of that is great.
I mean, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But there's other things you can do in the Zen booth, like, and if you wanted to replicate this at home, I mean, you could use your car or like an actual Amazon box, those big boxes that you don't know what to do with, like when the refrigerator comes and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this box?
Just another place to hide is what you're saying. You can do that.
Your closet. So things you can do in your personal Zen booth to help your life be a little bit better.
I would go with like taking a nap is a good one.
Yes, actually taking a nap would be a great thing to do in your personal Zen booth because naps increase alertness, it improves mood and performance. What else can you do in your personal Zen booth? For me, I have got this, like, this built-up anger inside.
Okay.
And I always said the place that would do the best is that they created an adult pinata place where I could just go in with a baseball bat.
Oh, a rage room. No, they are doing that now. They are doing the rage room thing. It's actually becoming a thing.
It's called destructive therapy, and I'm there for it. It helps alleviate repressed anger. Now, you just imagine you walk into your big Amazon box or whatever it is.
Right.
And you pull up, and you have a choice. You can use a crowbar,
yeah,
or you can use a baseball bat. And then there's just something there, like a computer screen.
How about
and you
the
smash
day,
it.
The morning's returns? Mm-hmm. I mean, they must have some frustrations with that in Amazon land, right?
Yeah. That'll also do some good.
Sure.
Other things you can do in your Zen box,
yeah.
Cry. Crying dulls pain, detoxifies your body, restores emotional balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you need a good cry.
You do. And the last thing you can do in the Zen box is you can clear your voicemails and emails. You know when that number gets really high?
Oh, I can't stand that when you got the notifications there.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. If it's anything above like 3, it just drives me nuts. Let's face it, honestly, when it says 1, I have to get in there and click that I read the emails. But I never actually read the emails. You know what? Actually, that's probably why I don't read my emails is because I just click it that I read it immediately because that number drives me insane.
Well, believe it or not, according to LinkedIn, deleting equals relief. So the more of those that you get rid of, the better mentally sound you can be.
See that?
Yeah.
And here we are. All of you guys were just encouraging me to be an adult every day, and I was just looking out for myself.
Raven, read your emails. Like, how many times I got to tell you?
Nope. Mm. Sorry. Too anxious.
The average weekly rate for a kid's day camp ranges anywhere from $199 to $800 a week. That's a week, according to the American Camp Association.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I thought it was even more. I've heard totals that are more than that. I mean, if they're sleeping over,
yeah,
it's more. It's a whole lot more.
Am I the only parent that's literally going broke because my kids' activities cost too much money?
No, I think that's all parents.
I mean, I think about, like, this has to be the greatest scam going on out there, because when you're a parent, what will you spend money on? Your kids, right? You
sure
want them to be happy. You want them to find their passion,
mm-hmm,
find out what makes them feel good about themselves.
Be smarter, be better, feel better, all those things.
And sometimes that passion costs $700 and you're like, wait. So my husband and I have found that it was getting astronomical because, like, you know, all of a sudden she'd be like, I want to try that. Okay. I want to try that. Okay. And then we realized the amount of money that was going out the door for all these after school activities,
yeah,
was basically going to be more than our mortgage at this point.
Wow.
So what we did was we started playing this game called Is It Worth It?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we would find out how much it would be to do this activity. And
sure,
we would say, is it worth it? And I feel really bad saying this. And I hope they're not listening because I know they listen to the show.
Oh, boy.
But my daughter's art school, right?
Oh.
She begged me for years that she wanted to take pottery classes.
Oh, nice.
The wheel, right? So every time she brought it up, I would be like, Hayden, like, what are you going to do with your life? You're going to make pottery?
Oh.
Like, you know, like.
Wow. Really? That's. So she had a passion for something and expressed to you that she'd like to learn and do some artwork. And you said, how are you going to feed your family with that?
It just seems.
She's 12.
Right.
That's wrong, man.
But it was. It's like $200 a month.
Oh, Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore would be so upset with you.
The only people that have ever cared about the wheel and pottery was, yeah, from the movie Ghost. And I was like, this is
it. Who's going to make you an ashtray?
You saw this once on TV and you decided that this is what you wanted to do.
Who's going to make you a misshapen vase or a cup that you can't really drink out of without wondering whether or not it poisons you?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm holding it up right now. Raven, what am I holding up?
You are holding up one of the pottery. You promised you were going to bring me one because you said you have dozens of them around the house.
My house is filled with pottery. I gave in. It's her passion. She does the most beautiful work. It's her relaxation.
Now you're trying to disclaim her and recover.
It's true. I felt like such a jerk for years telling her no, and that's what she is. You know,
oh, for years she wanted to do
years
it.
Years she
oh,
wanted
you're
to do
terrible.
It. Yeah. So was it worth it? Yes. Dakota, my little one, she's
yeah,
2.5. Her swimming, $150 a month.
Wow.
Is it worth it? Yeah, she's got to learn how to swim.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, swimming's important. Yeah.
I decided that, you know how, like, there was the scandal with, you know, USC with the rowing?
Yes.
Right?
Yep, yep.
So I figured, wait a minute.
By then, the temper will have died down
said,
and you'll sneak her in as a crew?
If Hayden actually learns how to row, maybe she can get a scholarship and get into all these schools. Do you know how much 1 week of rowing costs near where I live for
I
a camp this summer?
No idea.
$700.
Wow.
I was like, nope, not worth it.
I mean, they do have to keep them alive when they're out there in the water and all that. But But I get it. It does seem like a significant investment when you're looking at it going car payment, rowing class.
I was like, you're just going to have to study harder in school, baby girl. Sorry.
Just going to have to ask them to start making like rowing situations in the pottery class or something, right? Maybe we can do a canoe next week.
Got an email for archery camp. $330 a week. Nope. When are you going to use a bow and arrow? Not worth it, right? I don't know. I just signed up Hayden, my 12-year-old, for Dare Camp. Because I figured $200 for a week was a good investment for her to spend a week at the beach with cops.
I mean, it does sound like a bargain, honestly, compared to some of the other activities that kids do nowadays.
So the average camp costs between $200 and $800 a week, according to the American Camp Association. In general, kids' activities are so expensive. And my husband and I always question when we get to one versus the other. Is it actually worth the money?
I mean, sure, you want these people to keep your child alive. It would be great if they were entertained and even learned something during that time. But for the most part, again, safety is paramount. But how much can you really afford to pay for that?
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What kids' activity was worth it and which wasn't?
My son always wanted to learn the guitar, and I told him to watch some YouTube videos so we could learn it. You know, he was just terrible. And then one Christmas, finally gave in and got him lessons. I'm proud to say that now he's in college to become a music teacher.
Wow. I mean, just think of those early years when you oppressed his dreams. How much further along the line he would be if you had just listened to him expressing himself. Mom, I have a dream. That's good, son. Whatever.
they discovered Justin Bieber on YouTube. You figure it out on YouTube.
Right.
And you're like, it doesn't work, right? Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What lessons were worth the money and which weren't?
My daughter took dance classes for years and years, and I don't know about too much about dance, but she looks the same now as she did when she was like 4 years old doing it, and it costs me $1,000 every year. Mm. And listen, it's not like she's going to become a professional dancer. So, I mean, I don't know why we keep having to pay to send her to these classes. And then to make matters worse, she has these recitals. I have to go watch these recitals, and I have to pay money to go watch the recital. So actually, I have to pay to watch my daughter dance from classes that I paid for her to attend. Does that make any sense?
Yes, because it's what every dance parent has to deal with.
Love, such a burden. These people that you love, these small people.
But it's so fun when you see them on stage and they're smiling and they're having fun. It makes it all worth it, right?
Yeah, as long as you're awake.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is these recitals unfortunately feel like about 4 hours of other people's kids dancing and then that 1 minute of really loving your own kid. Not worth the money.
That is true. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What lessons were worth the money and which weren't?
So my daughter took... The only word I can think of is quirky, this quirky little art class at a local art school. And she made animals out of yarn. It cost $325 a week, mind you, for this camp. It was marketed as a camp. And literally, that's what she did. She used yarn to make animals all week. And my wife has them in our dining room. And they're so strange looking and pointless.
Oh.
And every day I come into them, and I just regret sending her there.
Oh,
well, it's
your daughter made them.
I know. Right. How old is your daughter?
She's 13.
Oh.
Oh, well, it's not like when she's six.
Right. Yeah. If she's six making yarn piggies, that's one thing, yarn piggies. But right. I guess if you're like 13.
You can't get rid of them because then that's, you know, bad for the self-esteem. So it's got to be her idea someday.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, so if she's still into art, then that's one thing. You got to keep them. You got to say, look at how far we've come, right? You can replace them. Then again, if she blew off art like 3 days after camp, was like, no, I'm done with that, never going to do it again. Okay, right in the fire they go.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Raven, listen to this. You're never going to believe what happened yesterday.
That's
okay, all you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Yesterday, it was my my dentist appointment. Like, you know, the routine checkup. The
sure,
cleaning.
Of course. Yeah. Right, you told me.
Mm-hmm. So I go, and they still have it at our office where you have to stay in the car.
I know, the dentist's office, they're still doing this at mine too. And I'm like, kind of get over it.
Get over it,
you know what I mean?
Right?
Like, let's go, people.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to stay in the car, and you call, and then the hygienist comes out and gets you when it's time. And then
they come and get you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And they take us through this weird side door. I don't know, whatever. Like,
it makes a difference.
Right. But now I'm looking at all the cars next to me that are all waiting for their hygienist to come gather them, right?
Sure.
And the woman to the right of me, right? She is ferociously, as fast as she can, shoving a sandwich in her mouth. And it was, you know.
What? I mean, right before you go in?
Yeah. And it was like a late appointment because it was like the late night there because yeah, that's when I get to go. And all I kept thinking is, this lady is legit eating her dinner before she goes in to have her dental cleaning. That is all I need to know about you. I have to make sure that I brush my teeth,
yeah,
that I super floss.
You want to floss.
You
yes.
know I even have my own dental tools at home because I like to scrape my own plaque.
Which, by the way, I think ought to be illegal, but whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've had several dentists tell me not to use my dental tools, but
right.
what do they know? I've watched YouTube videos. I can clean my own teeth.
Yeah, clearly makes you a professional.
Can you imagine that you would have the guts to be able to shove a ham sandwich down your throat and fill your teeth with all that gunk before you're going in to see a hygienist? Who knows if they're even going to let you swash a little bit of that Listerine before they start the cleaning?
Well, it's disgusting, no question about it. I mean, I've gone in there before without the opportunity to floss, and that's bad enough by itself, but you always got to brush, and at the very least, gum. Gum, people, all right?
Yeah.
Get the gum in your mouth first and swish that gum around. See if it can suck out a piece of sandwich from in between your teeth, I guess, because that's just disgusting.
I saw the hygienist come to the door to gather her, and all yeah. I kept thinking was this poor lady, this poor woman. She has no idea
right.
what
And it's
kind
not
of-
like when they can hit you with the spray right now.
Nope.
In my office, they're not hitting you with the spray. You got to rinse
oh,
only.
Oh, no. We get hit with the spray still.
Oh, you're
yeah,
getting
yeah.
the spray?
Yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
not polishing at my office yet.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't.
Oh, is it back at your office?
Yeah.
Oh, I need a polish.
Big day.
So bad.
That's all I need to know about you.
If you are the one that believes that kids should be seen and not heard, that's all I need to know about you.
Mm.
Babysitting my niece over the last couple of days, my wife and I, and it's just been fun to hang out with her. And she's talkative, man, for a little baby. Like, she just talks and talks and talks. She doesn't make any sense, of course, but she just talks all day long. And then you see, like, you go out for a walk or something, and some neighbors are like, oh, and all they want to do is engage with the baby. And then other ones, people are just like, let me look past this small thing that makes noises down by my feet. And it just reminds me of that. People
yeah.
that would be like, oh, kids should be seen, not heard.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, no. It's total waste.
You could always call or text to 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you.
3, 2, 1, go!
That's what it sounded like yesterday when field day kicked off at my daughter's school.
Oh, that's an exciting time. I used to love field day, and I was fast, and I could run, and I was fast, and I was just fast.
I did not like field day.
No?
Because I was the chubby kid, and nobody wanted me on their team.
Oh.
And I couldn't run the relay race, and the three-legged race,
yeah.
they always put me with the smallest little girl next to me.
Right,
so
figuring that
like,
you could just pick them up?
Yes.
I was, just to run.
What would happen would be like that they would be so fast, and
yeah.
they would literally be dragging me on the floor like a cannonball
yeah.
on the side. Just trying to drag me down the field.
See, what I liked was that it was, you know, the races, it was just you because I didn't have a lot of friends when I was in elementary school either.
Mm.
Yeah.
That potato sack race?
Yeah.
I didn't realize until I was older the amount of allergies I had, and I remember that I would put the potato
the
sack
burlap
on.
Would just kill you.
My legs.
Actively try and kill you.
Rashes all up and down. And that's the 80s. Like, teachers didn't care.
Do you remember the names of the people that didn't pick you? Because if I can put together the names of people that didn't pick me and you put together those names, we will drive around today and we will just challenge people to fights or three-legged races. Your choice, whatever you want.
Water balloon toss.
Whatever it
show
takes.
Up with water balloons, just
hey,
pegging them with it.
Still think you got it? Let's do this.
Oh, man. So there's all these different traditional things that they do at field day, but Hayden, my 12-year-old, was telling me about a new activity that they did. And Raymond, tell me if you think this is questionable, okay?
Okay, let me hear it.
Okay.
Hayden, tell me about that really cool activity you were doing at field day.
Oh, yeah, we had to, like, loosen our shoes, and then we had to like put our heel on the back, and then we had to see how far we could kick our shoe.
So basically you loosen your shoe and then you just kick your foot as hard as you can and you throw your shoe.
Yes.
And this was like a school sanctioned activity at field day.
Yes.
And who won?
Well, there were different teams, and whoever had the most people that got their shoes the farthest out of like three people would win.
What happened to your socks once you kicked the shoes and you were on the grass and dirt?
Our socks got dirty.
Right. Well, I mean, this is just how you derobed every time you walked in the house when I was younger anyways, getting home from school. You just kicked the shoes off.
Kick the shoes off.
So everybody is a professional athlete. So in that, I like that it's, you know, anybody can be a winner here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back and challenge kids in this now, except it sounds like a hamstring injury.
Well, here's exactly what's going to happen is after the show today, we are going to go outside with our producers.
Okay.
And we're going to have a kick off the shoe field day activity.
I have my nice sneakers on.
Well, it should fly further. There we go. There, see, if you
if
have your
it gets
sneakers,
scuffed, I'm going to be really upset.
I'm more worried about the socks.
Oh, I don't care.
I don't
about
think
the
about
socks.
The socks.
I don't even care about the socks.
You know, was the
I
only...
got sock money for days, man.
You know what was the only good part about field day that I missed as a chubby kid?
What's that?
You know, you always got those ice cream sandwiches at the end of the day. You know the ones I'm talking about that's got like the chocolate part on the top and the bottom. It got all over your fingers, and then you had to lick it off
yourself.
Your fingers. All right.
Okay. I do like ice cream sandwiches, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Who doesn't? Think about the underwear you have on right now. You can't remember? I'll give you a second. Go ahead, look. Raven, what underwear do you have on right now?
Oh, I got some nice boxer briefs on right now. I think they're black. Hold on. Let me take a look. No, they're gray.
Gray.
With a black band.
Okay.
Yep.
How old are they?
These are actually relatively new. You know, I made the switch to Costco boxer briefs over the last year here. I said it out loud. Kirkland Signature. They're the best, Anna.
Okay.
So I got rid of all my old ones, and I bought like 3-4 packages of new boxer briefs. So these are like in the last 6 months to a year.
Okay, but you still think that that's relatively new within the last 6 months to a year.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so last year, there was a study that came out that horrified me. And what it said was that you're supposed to be completely revamping your underwear draw every 12 months. You're supposed to be throwing away your underwear.
Every bit of it.
Yeah, and I thought in my head, what?
That sounds crazy because, I mean, even though I bought like 3-4 packages and I got rid of like 90% of the old ones, I still kept a few pairs that I was like, these are still in good shape, even though you can see through them.
Yeah. Well, according to this new study now, which, you know, I'm glad about, you can keep your underwear forever.
What?
I have underwear that I used to wear in high school and I still wear them. I call them my going to bed underwear because they're like... I don't know. They're my going to bed. Like, ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Like the underwear that you wear to bed. They're cozy and gross, but you're, you know, like they're just like your like, cozy underwear.
I mean, why would they still be from high school? And
because they're
fine.
How can
they be that cozy? They're fine?
Because I've been wearing them out for the last 25 years.
I mean, $35, you get like 5 pairs during one of those specials going on, right?
They
at Vicky's or whatever.
Raven, they don't make mutons like they used to.
No.
They don't.
They were
it's
better.
It's different. Back then, like the elastics lasted longer. I think that part... And this is a story for another time, but I believe that the underwear people have created this scam where they've made underwear not as good as they used to make them in the old days.
So that they'd fall apart so that you need replacement underwear.
It's like
the bumper on a Chevy. I get it.
Right. So I still have underwear, like the underwear that I wore on my wedding day.
Right.
I still wear those regularly because they're fine.
Wait a minute.
They fit perfectly.
But I mean, I thought you would keep it because it's like a special thing. Like you keep it with your wedding lingerie or whatever. But no, you're wearing them all the time.
Yeah.
Like, how hot were your wedding underwear?
No, they're just like regular white underwear.
Like, what's up with that?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
Here's the good news. If you think back to the oldest pair of underwear in your drawers, you can keep it literally forever as long, and this is what the doctors say is important.
Yeah.
As long as you wash them after every use. I mean, of course.
I would hope.
Yeah. Okay. And these are the other three things that have to determine whether or not you have to throw away your underwear.
Okay.
One, they're mechanically functional. That means like no holes.
Oh, well, so, I mean, I have some holes, but things don't fall out of them. They're not that large of holes. It's just a hole here or a hole there. You know, a little bit in a stretchy place.
What?
Yeah.
No, if your underwear have holes, you have to throw them away. You can't keep them. What are you going to do with that?
I mean, just a couple of pieces. It's good for ventilation.
Okay.
What else?
If they're soiled, you have to get rid of those.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hope so, people.
Mm-hmm. And when they're frayed or the elastic stops working, you need to replace them. If you put
with that quality elastic from 30 years ago,
you could die in those
bridal underwear.
Well, they're extra tight now and fit because I was 25 pounds lighter back then. But
right.
You know what? They stay up. That's it.
And the holes in them aren't large enough for you to fall out yet.
I don't have holes in my underwear. Only you do, weirdo. Only 2% of Americans think that you should get engaged if you've been dating less than 6 months.
Hmm.
I thought that was interesting. That is a very small percentage. 50% of people say between 1 and 3 years is average, and then everybody says longer than 3 years before you get engaged.
I don't really know that there's a time frame or whatever that's absolutely precise that I have to, you know, go with, but I did see a couple that has been hanging out for 3 months. 3 months, 92 days they were had been together, and I know this because they were talking about it, and all the girls started asking them, like, when are they going to get engaged? And I was so uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
As a guy, there's nothing more uncomfortable for me than to be there and have, like, the aunt or the grandmother or the mother or whoever be cornering the boyfriend and going, so when are you guys going to get engaged?
Well, that's my
when are you going to ask them to marry them?
So Zierita and my
you're
family,
running right off.
Yeah, she's the one that whenever the guy, like, you know, me, all my cousins, all of us, like, whenever we brought somebody into the family,
right,
she would be ruthless. She'd be like, well, when are you going to get married?
Right.
And when do you want to get engaged?
How many babies will you have? Yeah. And what are your it's like, whoa, you know, you're scary. You're just trying to hang out.
Well, see, you're coming from a guy's point of view. I had the opposite, where, like, I had to pressure my husband to get engaged because I kid you not.
You had to pressure him.
Oh, my gosh. I'm the one that gave him an ultimatum. I said, listen, we're either going to get engaged or, like, I'm going to move out and we're going to...
I'm moving on with my life.
Yeah.
I can't live in sin with you anymore. My parents will disown me.
It's terrible to say it, but I think that some guys kind of need, and not just guys, girls too, need that extra push because otherwise they get caught in this limbo and it's a big decision. Mm-hmm. And if you already are tough on making decisions, that's just one you never want to make, right?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
I mean, good news. We've been married 16 years. It worked out all right. Every psychiatrist I've ever talked to has told me that you should never pressure somebody to get married, but I disagree.
Well, you
disagree.
Did it. You did it, and it's over anyways.
Yeah. But if you got engaged really fast, how fast was it? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Ann on Raven.
Exactly 60 days. I knew it.
How did you know?
Oh, because not only was it inside of my heart, but whenever I talk about my wife to people, they would start laughing. I'm like, that's it. She's got you hook, line, and sinker.
Uh-huh.
You know, you love her.
Wow.
See, when you know.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is I think a big part of it is, like, you have to embrace the feeling that you have and then push away the doubt, right? Because everywhere around you is the doubt. There's always going to be friends or family or whatever that will see doubt. But if you put those things out of the way and really go with the feeling, I mean, who knows what can develop?
I always say when I met my husband, Paul, I felt it in my gut. It was like a feeling in my chest the first time I laid eyes on him. It was just, I just kind of knew.
It was that sleeveless shirt.
Woo! Yeah.
But if you would have asked me to marry him 60 days later, I would have been like, wait a minute, slow down.
You
would have
been
here.
Like, crazy person. No.
Thank you for
second
the call.
No second thoughts here.
But when I got to, like, 3.5 years, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you better do this right now. You don't do this by the end of the week. I'm getting out of here.
Raven did not like the fact that he had a bunch of friends over the weekend and a bunch of the girls were pressuring one of his friends to get engaged after he'd only been dating the girl for 3 months.
I mean, he's a new guy to the group. It's been 90 days. He's a really good guy. I like him. He seems to fit right in. They seem to be doing well. They've got a good match. But I mean, come on, girls. Relax.
Only 2% of Americans think you should get engaged if you've been dating less than 6 months. Who's had the fastest engagement? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Ann on Raven.
I met my ex-husband online when Match.com first came out. He asked me to marry him on our second date. We eloped 2 weeks later and then got divorced 2 years later.
Well, I mean, yours lasted longer than mine, so, you know.
Wait, hold on. What did you say?
Wow. So then he moved back to Greece, and I haven't heard from him since.
Oh. Maybe he's doing it for the papers. Because he wanted to be an American citizen? Was that a thing?
Well, you know, it wasn't. It really was. We really thought it was for love.
Okay.
I mean, if he wanted to be the citizen, he would have had to stay longer.
It was what it was,
you know?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful chapter. My Grecian husband.
Well, not for nothing.
No more.
But, you know, your 2-year marriage beat Raven's 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The divorce process.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, the divorce process was just as long, if not longer, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Definitely more expensive.
Find something out after 9 months? I mean.
No.
I found out that I hated her. Right? I mean,
okay.
We found out that we despised each other. I mean, beyond that, I don't know what more you needed to know.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How long were you dating before you got engaged?
It's actually my mother-in-law. She was engaged to a man during World War II, And he was stationed down in South Carolina. She was in Queens. And when a friend said he could drive her down there, when she got in the car to go for the ride, there was another fella going to that base at the same time. And she was afraid in that long ride back in the 40s that he'd fall asleep at the wheel. So she stayed up all night talking to him. And when she finally got to the base and her fiance met her, she said, "Usk, I'm really sorry. I'm not marrying you. I'm marrying him."
Oh,
we married
wow.
6 weeks later and we're happily married forever.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. My grandmother
Marriage,
was engaged to a sergeant. And she dumped him and married my grandfather, who was a captain in the Air Force. Because he showed up and, like, pushed that sergeant off. Bye-bye. And same thing. Super quick engagement. That's a nice story. That happened a lot during times like that, right?
Yeah.
The world was in upheaval.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
People took bets at their wedding how long it would last.
Well, they won. Right.
I love it.
Thank you for the story.
Thank
That's
you.
Wonderful. And Ann Raven, how long were you engaged?
2 hours.
Stop it.
Wait a minute. What? You met and 2 hours later you were engaged? Come on.
What happened?
Yep. It was an arranged marriage. We talked for 2 hours and that was it. The rest was history 25 years later.
I mean, who arranged it? Your parents? Like the guy down the street, your mechanic? Like, who did it?
Yeah, extended family, yeah. Cousins, aunts, uncles, yeah.
Was there a dowry?
No, absolutely not.
Did you want the arrangement?
You're kidding me? That's enough. Yes, absolutely. No, there was no force in it. But yeah, we talked for 2 hours and we knew and that was that.
That is crazy.
That's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
There's very few decisions I can make in 2 hours. I mean, that requires some sort of commitment layer. Like, my kid talked to me for 3 days about trying to get me to co-sign for his new Sea-Doo. I don't know. Really tough.
Raven spent the last 3 hours talking about what we're going to have for lunch today.
True. I've been looking at sandals for 2 days on my computer. 2 days I've been looking at sandals. Thank you for the call. It's amazing.
Have a good morning.
Got to be more stories out there.
Yeah. Raven, great news.
What?
We just got invited to a wedding via text. Maria and Christopher. We're talking about who had the shortest engagement. And Maria texted us that she got engaged 3 months after they met. And they said, if we want to come to the wedding, which is this July 3rd.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to know what they want to eat. What are our choices? Let's see.
Well, I always want the steak. I always want the steak, no matter what.
Yeah. We have eggplant parm, chicken parm, or New York strip.
Yeah. I'll have the strip. Of the strip, thank you very much.
Only 2% of Americans think that you should get engaged if you've been dating less than 6 months.
Wow.
A majority of Americans believe between 1 and 3 years is the right amount of time to be dating.
I mean, looking at the stats of how all that's worked out, what do we know about it, honestly? Ask yourself, person, you know, what do you truly know about it?
1-800-330-9999. Who had the fastest engagement? Hi, it's Yana and Raven.
I met my wife June 2nd. And we were married on June 4th.
Wow.
2 days.
Oh, my gosh. You met her 2 days before you actually got married. What were the circumstances? Yes. I mean, where did you meet and how did you know?
I was in the service. I met her at a USO show in Loring Air Force Base. And I was being shipped out to overseas. And I danced with her all night.
Aww.
And we walked and talked and we had dinner and lunch. And then I proposed.
That's all there was time for. Then they got married.
Right.
Dinner and lunch 2 days and then that was good.
We got married and we were married over 60 years before she passed away.
Aww.
Thank you for sharing
that
story with us.
That's a beautiful love story.
And thank you for your service. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
You too.
Take care.
Tiana and Raven, how long were you dating before you got engaged?
Oh, it was very quickly. We were dating and then married within 6 months with a big wedding, and we're celebrating our 8-year anniversary next week.
Congratulations.
Good for you. Sometimes that's just as scary, right?
Thank
like, I mean, we're hearing the stories about, you know, 30 days, a week. We're hearing various stories, and they're great stories, but a big wedding within 6 months of meeting, like, you know, there's a lot of people there that they all have the same eyes on you, right? They want to be thrilled for you. At the same time, they're terrified.
Right.
You know, they're terrified.
Yeah.
The funny part of the story is he worked at my church and I was a member of the church and I wanted to hook him up with my best friend. They had no connection whatsoever. A few months later, I needed a date for a wedding. That was all she wrote. We went to that wedding, and there was such a chemistry. that within a month I was pregnant. So we have a 7-year-old son and we're celebrating our 8-year anniversary.
Do you know that I tried to set up Paul with one of my friends when before we started dating?
Well, you see somebody, you think they're a catch, right? But yeah. You think in your mind, maybe you're not ready for that just yet.
I was dating somebody else at the time. Even though I knew I liked him, there was something in my gut that told me that that was the guy. I didn't want to lose him, so I set him up with one of my friends.
Keep him close.
Yeah.
And then push your friend off when the time's right for you.
Turns out that she likes girls, so it worked out for all of us anyway.
Perfect. Right.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Alex and Jennifer. Jennifer, what's going on?
Hey, so we were cleaning up over the weekend. We were cleaning our yard, and we discovered there's this like really large hornet's nest, and it's on the tree that it kind of like straddles between like our property and our neighbors. I think we need to get rid of it before, you know, somebody gets hurt, either one of our kids gets stung or one of, you know, our neighbor's kids. Can be really dangerous. Hornets are like really toxic, especially to children. So I think we need to get rid of it ASAP. I mean, it's like very dangerous.
Yeah. Alex, what's the problem with that?
I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Listen, this hornet's nest is in the very back of the yard. The kids don't go there that often to begin with. The less interaction we could have with our neighbors, the better. It's not really a problem. And at the end of the day, they'll be gone next year anyway, so this is not like a permanent problem. We just have to have patience and wait it out, and it's fine.
I don't know. Like, when you got a lot of bees, active bees around there, I've had people tell me before they'll be gone next year, and I had those carpenter bees that they were coming out of the ground.
Oh, my gosh. Remember when you had to try to get rid of those, Raven?
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible.
It bit my Uncle Tom on the face. They say they don't sting people. Well, if they don't sting, they bite like heck, man. They bit him on the face a couple times. I put gasoline down there, everything.
Yeah.
Every rule that you're not supposed to do, essentially, I did that in my yard.
I thought you were going to blow up the yard, remember?
What's your relationship with your neighbors? Like, you're like, the less we got to interact with them. I mean, you got kids, they got kids. Seems like typically you'd be friends, no?
I mean, I don't want to start mixing. I mean, I'd rather just kind of keep my home, my sanctuary, and not have to worry about these variables. The less interaction that I have with people, the better. I just want peace when I come home. I have a stressful enough job as it is, you know?
Do they know that the hornet's nest is up there? Are they aware of it for their own children? I mean, it's one thing if you want to tell your own kids, like, hey, don't go back there. That's one thing, but are they aware of it?
I mean, I'm not opposed to informing them. If you want to inform them, that's fine. That's a good thing.
But is it technically on your property or theirs?
I think it's like somewhere in between. It's dicey.
The tree is on our side, but the branch that like where in the tree where the hornets, it's in between our two properties. Kind of okay. Like,
well, then the tree
is
yours.
Who that is?
Yeah, the
tree is on our side, but the hornet's nest is kind of like straddling. It's kind of on the part of the tree that's in their property. So I don't know who.
Why can't you just get rid of it? I don't understand why you can't just call somebody and get rid of it, or just take it. I don't know how to take it down.
Well, they don't take it for free.
Exactly.
If you guys want to pay for it, that's one thing. But
let's get some feedback, because they may agree with you, Jennifer. Pay whatever it is. Get rid of this hornet's nest. Let it be the end of it. You guys have kids. But they may see Alex's side, too, that, well, not your kid's problem. You're going to tell them to stay away from it and just keep your mouth shut, and it'll eventually go away, I guess.
I guess. Right. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I can't wait to hear all these hornet stories that we're about to get. I don't know what the rules are, but here's what I know for sure. It's a hornet's nest, and it becomes a risk to the kids. Alex and Jennifer, they have a tree that's like on the shared property with the neighbors behind them. In that tree is a hornet's nest. Now, Alex thinks it's no big deal. They're not going to address it. They're not going to pay for somebody to come out. Just tell the kids not to go near it and let the neighbors deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, a hornet's nest, a lot of times, it's going to be gone the next year anyways, right? They vacated. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not a bug expert
rules.
Or anything like that.
We don't
like
know the
that,
hornet
but,
rules. Yeah.
But I know that, you know, I mean, we've had hornet's nests in my yards before, and you ignore it or you do something about it. If you hate for somebody to get stung and then you for to say, like, hey, we knew all about this and we didn't do anything about it before, right? But, you know, the branch is on the neighbor's property. The tree is on their property. This is a classic argument here. This happens all the time.
Yeah, and Jennifer says that the tree, the trunk is on their property. Therefore, they need to call somebody to come remove the nest.
Right. It should be us that pays for it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the side of the wife. The one thing for sure, the tree is on their property, so it's their responsibility to get rid of the hornet's nest. Children are children. I mean, no matter what is happening between me and my neighbor, if I see their kids is in danger, I will let them know. So those bees, when they sting, I've had bees sting me and my face swell up so big, it's not good.
I think she makes a good point, just in black and white. If the tree is on your property, it becomes your problem, period.
Well, I would say that the point is that kids are kids, and you'd like to protect kids if you could.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999's Couples Court. Jennifer and Alex have a tree that's right on the property line of their neighbors that live behind them. The trunk on their property, technically their tree, but one of the branches that goes over to the neighbors has a major hornet nest on it.
Jennifer thinks it's time for them to call an exterminator. At the very least, approach the neighbors, let them know that it's there, and find out whether or not they want to split the cost. But Alex thinks that this is just a problem waiting to happen. They're not going to want to split the money. I don't even want to talk with these people. Stay away from the hornet's nest. All will be fine.
Right, except there's kids on both sides. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven, Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the wife's side because the whole thing of bees, my goodness, God forbid one of the kids are allergic to bees, I would just get rid of it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. Bees are in demand now. They may come and get it for free. People want bees or a beekeeper.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same with wasps or hornets, but that's a very good idea.
It's really a good idea.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. Thank you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on Jennifer's side.
Me too. She's with her mom. It's an accident waiting to happen.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the vote, guys. Glad that you're listening with us together.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. What happens when the kids are in the backyard playing with a ball and the ball hits it? And it comes down.
It's true.
Well, chaos happens at that point.
Right.
I mean, chaos happens in the most shared Ring video ever from your home. But probably something dangerous, too.
Exactly.
I can imagine having, like, my friends and their kids over, and all of a sudden it becomes a game with the soccer ball. Who can hit the hornet's nest in the tree?
Well, I'll tell you right now, with me and my friends, that's what it would have been when we were younger. It would have been rocks.
Yep.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jennifer, our audience agreed with you. Alex, you either got to suck it up and take it out yourself or inform your neighbors or call someone professional and have them remove it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We just need to get rid of it, and I think we should call a professional. I don't need him getting stung or hurt or anything like that either.
Well, you know, first things first, let's inform the neighbors, right? Let them know, because maybe dad across the fence line wants to go out there and be a hero. Let him be that guy. On the other hand, you guys can all hide inside while that's going on, and you don't have to worry about getting stung, right? Or at the very least, you guys can discuss getting an exterminator when they see the extent of the problem and maybe splitting the cost. You don't want to just go out there and throw rocks at this thing. I would advise against that.
Right.
I think it's a great idea. Like, we should approach them and have them pay for half. What do you think about that, honey? That's a good one.
You can definitely handle that if you like.
And then they could pay for half. It is on their side. You know what I mean? So I think that's a good solution.
Be careful with that discussion, though, because if you say it's on your side, it almost feels like assessing blame, and then they might be resistant. But best of luck, guys.
Right.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Thank you, guys.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, John, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Hey, Raven, you got to go.
Good luck, John.
Okay.
Thanks, Raven.
We have $700 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Raven's out in the hallway. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to play?
Yes.
Okay. Remember, ties do go to Raven. Number 1, Cruella star Emma Stone said that she thinks that the next Disney villain that should get her own original movie is Ursula. In which Disney movie will you find Ursula?
Little Mermaid.
Number 2, Bruce Springsteen will return to Broadway this month for another run of his Springsteen on Broadway show. Finish these opening lyrics to Springsteen's song, Dancing in the Dark. I get up in the evening,
and they ain't got nothing to say.
Number 3, Loki was just released on Disney Plus. In what movie do Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson star together, but not as their superhero alter egos?
Larson, Wedding Crashes, no idea.
Number 4, Jennifer Lopez is officially moving back to L.A. for a fresh start with Ben Affleck. Who was Ben Affleck's ex-wife? Time's up, John.
No idea.
That's all right. And number 5, Balenciaga just announced that they're releasing stiletto Crocs. Nicki Minaj recently crashed the Crocs website when she posted a picture of her wearing what color Crocs?
Orange.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. It wasn't great, John.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's okay. You tried your best, and that's all I ever ask. You got 2 out of 5.
Not too good. Let's see how I do. $700.
Number one, Cruella star Emma Stone says she thinks that the next Disney villain that should get her own original movie is Ursula.
Okay.
In which Disney movie will you find Ursula?
That's easy, The Little Mermaid.
That's true, and I agree. How great will that movie be?
I think it would be scary, actually.
Yeah. Number two, Bruce Springsteen will return to Broadway this month for another run of his Springsteen on Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
Finish these opening lyrics to Springsteen's song, Dancing in the Dark.
Okay.
I get up in the evening.
And I ain't got nothing to say.
That's it. All right, that's all I needed. That's all I needed. We can move on with our lives.
All right.
Number three, Loki was just released on Disney Plus. In what movie do Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson star together, but not as their superhero alter egos?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
That's Kong, Skull Island.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Number four, Jennifer Lopez is officially moving back to L.A. for a fresh start with Ben Affleck. Who is Ben Affleck's ex-wife?
Jennifer Gardner.
Yes.
Love her.
Number five, Balenciaga just announced that they're releasing stiletto Crocs.
Okay.
I don't know why, but they are. Nicki Minaj recently crashed the Crocs website when she posted a picture of her wearing what color Crocs?
I'll just take a shot and say yellow.
No, they were pink.
Yellow. Oh, that was going to be my other guess.
I mean, you know that yellow, Justin Bieber wore yellow Crocs.
No, I don't know that he wore them.
But only I know that? All right.
That was my next guess would have been pink right there.
I'm sorry, John. He beat you 3-2 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Enjoy that shirt, bro. Better luck next time.
Sorry, I'm John, and I can't be Raven. Not today, though.